Today we're going to shift to talking about this pithy teaching of exchanging self for others. And can everybody hear me? I know we have some competing sounds. That's all right. That's all right. Okay, so I'll project. Let me know if you can't hear me, just tug on your earlobe and I'll speak up. This is a powerful teaching that really gets to the heart of Buddhist spirituality, which is that by nature of being human, we all really long for a feeling of being in reliable, safe, easeful connection with others. Right? It's just part of the human condition. Right, to want that feeling of closeness, right, safe, boundaried, friendly, right, warm connection. But that it's also part of the human condition to struggle with that endeavor and for obstacles to arise in the mind that seem to interfere with that shared human wish. And so in this pithy teaching of exchanging self for other, we're really talking about empathy, right? The capacity to be deeply curious, not only about our own experience, right? Because many of us, we have a lot of interest, as we've talked about in all of our sessions, in what we go through personally. Right? It seems like there's a part of the mind that has a determination to stay focused on our personal experience. And of course, to some degree, we need that, right? We need that, especially if it comes with compassion and affection and respect. We do need that part that wants to stay curious about what we're feeling and needing and navigating. But if that tendency becomes too dominant, and for many of us it tends to be, it becomes an enormous obstacle, right, toward that equally strong wish to feel that we're in relationship with others, right, that we've got a human family that we're a part of. And so in this practice of cultivating empathy, right, or really just a deep abiding curiosity for others, all beings, most of us need some help, right, some tools, some methods, because the concept makes so much sense, right? And especially this is a truly developed, sensitive, highly intelligent group of people. I think you're all naturally drawn to this notion of empathy. And for those of you who feel drawn to spiritual practice, often it seems very intuitive. Right? We walk into spiritual community and we learn to say, how are you? Right? How are things going for you? We start with the other. And in that way, we get a lot of training for being other-centric. But sometimes behind that training or underneath that training is the part that says, I have my own problems, right? I have my own unfulfilled needs. And I'm trying to clear the space for you, but it really feels like a distraction. And I laugh with you because I know that experience very well, right? Of I'm trying to express my curiosity, but right, that self-concern just keeps bubbling up. So much so that it can be frustrating to ourselves, right? Especially if we really have that conscious intention to be able to table, right, not split off, but just contain our own personal experience long enough so that we really can clear that space authentically for another. And even with the same genuine wish to understand what someone else is going through, to be responsive, not in an intrusive way, right? But again, with that sense of genuine curiosity. So when we're talking about empathy, or radical empathy, as it's sometimes described in contemporary Buddhist communities, we're really talking about developing slowly, that ability to sustain that genuine curiosity, right, for all beings, whether we personally know them or not, whether we personally like them or not, right, whether we've had conflict with them or not, right, to really begin to soften the obstacles of bias that can interfere with that radical, right, equal opportunity empathy. Right. And for most of us, it just takes a lot of practice of helping the mind notice what gets in the way, what are the obstacles, and then having methods to gently, respectfully work with those obstacles. So in this practice of exchanging self for other, and in Trelug Kibdun's book, which I'll leave on the table if anyone wants to have a look, he translates this particular pithy teaching as, begin the sequence of exchange with yourself. Begin the sequence of exchange with yourself. Now, that can sound a little bit confusing. And sometimes I have noticed that there's a sense of not quite knowing, right? What does that mean? I'll start with what it doesn't mean. Right? Often there's a curiosity about whether that means we should go away, right? Should we be so other-centric that our own personal experience should really just dissolve? That's definitely what it doesn't mean, right? Because we need to practice with ourselves, since we're with ourselves all the time, right? We have the opportunity to practice that more spacious, curious, friendly, right, response to our experience. Not in a way that's grasping or that gets stuck in it, right? That, as we've talked about, can feel obsessional, right? It can feel like we're ruminating, we're caught in a loop. But in a way that just has a little bit of space so that we can see a bigger picture. And then, right, to begin to use that capacity to stay truly curious about others. So what we're exchanging is that self-focus, right, that exclusive self-focus. As Bob Thurman says, sometimes it can feel like, I'm the only one. I'm the real one, right? Everyone else, of course, we care about our loved ones, but really, I'm the only one. So to begin to just challenge that feeling, and sometimes it is just a feeling. It's not formulated in our thinking or formulated in a semi-conscious way so that we might have that sense of, if you only knew what I'm going through, right, while I'm talking to you about your stuff, right? But that's a little red flag that, okay, there is some feeling of I'm the real one here. So not to judge ourselves for that, because it really is part of the human condition, and it's culturally reinforced, right? So this is not felt in the same way in every family or in every culture at all. but in fiercely individualistic cultures, right? And I would say for many New Yorkers, we know that feeling that we got to carry on with our stuff, right? So the idea is that we're slowly, slowly exchanging that fierce self-focus for a genuine curiosity about others. Yeah, does that make sense? So that's what's being exchanged, right? Not valuing ourselves. We're not trying to expunge the love, the compassion for self, because that really is, it's part of the, you know, the soil, the spiritual soil through which we develop that genuine compassion and love for others. But we're swapping out that intense, almost feverish self-focus for a spacious, genuine curiosity for others. Yeah. Now, you might be wondering, well, how do you know that that's what's happening, right? How do you assess? How do you discern? And there's no concrete way to assess it, but there is a reliable way, which is to check in with your subjective experience. Because I think for most people, when we're actually swapping out that feverish self-concern for a more spacious concern for others, we feel better. Right? It comes with a feeling of relief. Right? Because we're not using our psychic resources to split off or get rid of our own stuff. Right? We're honoring what's happening to us. But we're just learning to increase, we're augmenting, right, that sense of upwelling, of compassion and love so that it can be directed toward countless others. And that feels very freeing. Yeah. It also tends to come with a feeling of being more supported. Right, so that there's a sense of wherever you go, you got friends. Right, it doesn't matter if you've met them before. Right, there's an almost automatic or instinctual sense of we're in something together. Right, we're definitely both wanting to be spared our suffering, and we're definitely both wanting a sense of goodness and a sense of meaning. Right, a sense of safety. And so that cultivates a feeling of connection, and it reduces feelings of isolation. Yeah. So it's ironic, right? The part of the mind that says, don't get distracted by others, you got your own stuff to work out, is also the part that ends up generating a lot of suffering. Right, a feeling of being too on one's own, right, too alone, too uncared for. Louder, okay. Yeah. So I'll read to you this is a stanza from Shantideva's Bodhisattva's Way of Life. And Shantideva was a really extraordinary 8th century Tibetan Buddhist teacher and philosopher. And his teachings are often interwoven with Lojong teachings. Right? It's another way just to reflect on these pithy teachings that you find in mind training. And so on this section on exchanging self for other, he says, those desiring speedily to be a refuge for themselves and other beings should interchange the terms of I and other and thus embrace a sacred mystery. I'll read it once more. Okay. those desiring speedily to be a refuge for themselves and others should interchange the terms of I and other and thus embrace a sacred mystery. Yeah. I like that one, right? Because it doesn't wrap things up too neatly. Right? There is an element, and I would say quite a vast element of mystery to how relational we are. Right? How intimately in connection we are to other beings. And how profoundly we need to feel in connection. Right? And so he's saying, it's true. This is a teaching that requires just continued, lifelong reflection. But that the process of bringing our meditative state to the part that tends to feel separate, and then slowly, slowly softening that grip on a separate self, will likely help us open into that sacred mystery of connection, or as Thich Nhat Hanh describes it, interdependence. Yeah. So before I pause, because I'd love to hear from you, hear how this is sounding, as I was reflecting on these teachings this morning, I was thinking about how in clinical work, most of you know I'm also a psychoanalyst, clinicians will try to find what we describe as a parallel experience. Right? When we're working with someone who's telling us about who they are and what they've lived through, of course, what we've lived through will not be exactly the same. Right? No two people have the same experience. But we all do have parallel experiences in which we can find our way in. And it is that process, right, of finding the common ground that allows us to cultivate a deepened empathy. A deepened capacity to really step in the shoes of other. And so I thought I would offer that just as another way of practicing exchanging self for other. Right? One way of working with this teaching is when you're with someone, just to notice, do you have a parallel experience? And then perhaps noticing the differences, right? Because sometimes when we find the parallel experience, again, the part of the mind that wants to stay focused on self says, well, let me tell you about my parallel experience. My parallel experience is very compelling, right? But then what you've just shared gets lost. And the differences really matter. Right, and I'm sure you all know this experience of telling somebody something important. The response is, oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. This happened to me, and that happened to me, and this happened to me. And you're listening, and you're thinking, it's really not the same. It really isn't. But there's no way to find your experience with this person. It almost feels like that space collapsed. And so there's this lovely, delicate balance between noticing, right, that someone is telling us something that we can identify with because we're both human beings. And we want to use that identification, right, to swap out the self focus for other focus. So the identification or the parallel experience is just the gateway, right? It's the way in to someone else's experience that we get to learn about, it's not going to mirror exactly what we've lived through, right? Even if they're our twin, it's not going to mirror, right, our psyche, right, our temperament, so many differences. So perhaps one way to work with this teaching is to generate some excitement, some joy about the possibility of discovering who other people are. Knowing that when we do that, of course, it's a blessing for others, right? And there's no greater blessing than to feel found by another. And it's a tremendous blessing for ourselves, too. Because it will dissolve the feelings of isolation that so many of us grapple with. Right? It will restore a feeling of being in human connection, part of a human family.